Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Drunk women solving crime.
Drunk women.
Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
This is Drunk Women Solving Crime. My name's Hannah George and I'm a screenwriter. I'm joined by author and comedian Katie Wilkins.
Hello.
And writer-comedian Taylor Glenn.
Hello.
This is where absinthe meets arson, Negroni meets necrophilia, and Grand Marnier meets Grand Theft Auto. It's a true crime podcast with a twist of lime. Coming up on Drunk Women Solving Crime.
So it's not illegal, is it, heroin?
Oh, no, it's illegal, Katie. Yeah. Right?
Every case we do, Katie's like, the drugs were still legal, it was 1975.
I think of rich people. They don't like to be told no. Even by a door.
Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Hello and welcome to Drunk Women Solving Crime. We're still in lockdown, but we're still bringing you the podcast. And today we are joined by the brilliant Fortune Theme Star.
Yay!
Yay! The crowd goes wild.
Fortune, we kick things off in the same way every single episode with one question. Have you ever been the victim of a crime?
It feels so weird to be like, no. I haven't. I was thinking about this and I think I've just been very lucky. The only thing that ever happened was I had hired people to paint the interior of my house. And just, you know, wasn't thinking anything about it and just left everything out and about. And someone in the crew stole some of my checks and just was like writing checks for like a month. And I didn't pay attention or realize it. And all of a sudden I was like, I checked my statements when, you know, like a month later when the copy of the checks come in, and I'm like, that's very much not my handwriting, because I have terrible handwriting. So if anyone were to steal checks from me, here's a note. I have terrible handwriting, and this person's handwriting was beautiful, and I was like, oh my God. I mean, it was thousands of dollars. And
wow.
That part was not fun. So they had to I had to go to the police and file a report, and it was so weird to be like, that's who did it, but that was literally the only person that had been in my house at all. And that was the only place my checks were, and so you were just like, oh man.
What sort of thing did you ever find out, like what they bought, or was it just the money that you knew how much they spent?
They just wrote checks to get cash for
they were
money.
Just cashing,
yeah.
Because it'd be kind of great if it was like JCPenney, $4.99, just a nice pair of socks.
And the weird thing is, like, the banks don't, you kind of want to know, like, well, you know, it's any information, and they're just like, we don't know. And you're like, oh, okay. I mean, they didn't really do anything. They were just like, oh, well, that was unfortunate. Yeah. And they eventually pay you your money back. It takes a couple months. Oh. But yeah, I mean, the person basically just got money.
Wow.
Yeah.
How long ago was this? Just because I don't know a lot of people that use checks anymore. Like, was this a while ago?
I'm old school.
I love this. Are you still using checks? Do you still use checks?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Whoa.
Love this.
You guys don't use any checks?
I don't even have a checkbook.
For real?
I occasionally get one from my uncle for like 20 quid at Christmas. Like, he has got such elaborate handwriting and I love it. And it's a bit like, you know, when Dali kind of like would sign, draw a doodle on the back of a check. So it's worth more than the checks and no one cashed it. I have all his checks. I've never cashed them.
So you guys just pay with credit cards or Venmo or... Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff I can do online now, but there's still people for different services who... ask for checks,
such as people who paint the interior of your house.
I paid them with checks, but that was just because the room that they were painting in, the checks were like in a drawer. They just opened.
So they opened your drawers and stuff. Yeah,
and
did they take the whole checkbook or just a few checks?
Like,
out?
I think they took like five or something, but I caught it after four. They had one more. But I caught it. I caught it after thousands of dollars had been taken. I live in LA, but I'm from North Carolina, and I still have to pay for some services there, and they're old school too, like some like 60-year-old people that, you know, totally. Are like, Venmo, what's that?
I think it's just more common in the US, and I haven't lived there in a long time, but that would I'm not from the South, but my parents lived in Alabama for 15 years. And my dad, like at Christmas, would always write me a check. And I always try to explain, like, I can't just go cash this in London because it was like the Bank of Bama or something like that. And they'd be like, right. You don't recognize this.
Yeah.
I come from like a small island off the south coast of England called the Isle of Wight. And I remember when I went to co-op with my dad one day, and he was like, we got to the checkout and he was like, have a look at this. And he got out his card and tapped to pay. Like, it was like the most amazing thing in the world. I'm like, Dad, I've lived in London for like 3 years. We've had it for a really long time. And he thought it was going to blow my mind. It was adorable.
Oh my gosh. That's so funny.
It blows my mind that they have it on the Isle of Wight.
Yeah, it's good.
I'm probably old school too. My friends probably don't have checkbooks. I even do my own podcast, and I don't know how to work technology. People are like, why aren't you doing Zoom interviews? I'm like, I don't know how to. I only know how to do them when someone else is in charge. So. Technology, this lockdown has been interesting because I have my whole office is full of equipment from shows, I do a radio show and a podcast, and then I do a lot of voiceovers. And so they're all sending all this equipment because we can't leave our house. And I don't know how to use anything. So it's been I'm having to come up to date with the times.
Which is funny because as soon as you came on the screen, because your equipment looks so badass, I'm like, oh shit, she's a pro. Yeah. We're dealing with a pro.
You are not. You're dealing with someone who had pros send her stuff. Because I'm also filming, everyone's trying to be creative. I'm also filming a show for some network where I have to tape myself too. So I'm also in being an AD and a director and filming. So it's been an interesting time. That's why it's been a little crazy at my house.
It is weird, isn't it? Like, yeah, lockdown. Just I've discovered that I have a yoga mat. That was something I didn't know about myself. And it had been under my bed for about sort of 2 or 3 years. And then I strained my neck trying to get it out the other day.
So oh, no.
Literally, I was like, well, I can't do yoga now. I guess that's me.
You're like, sorry.
I was thinking at the end of this, though, you can sell off all the shit that everybody has sent you and that will make up for the checks. So sometimes, there you go. Karmically.
Yes.
There's going to be so much home recording equipment on eBay after all of this is done, isn't it?
Yeah.
But at the end of this section, what we do is we ask people, if you had this guy or girl, we don't know who your painter or decorator was, if you had them in front of you right now, what would you say to them?
I'm such a wuss. I'm like, man, that wasn't cool. you shouldn't do that. But then I the other part of me would be like, I hope you needed it. And it actually that you actually used it for, important things. That I don't really have a problem with. You're like, oh, if they really needed it, then okay. I mean, not that you want to get stolen from, but if it's like, oh, I got a skateboard, you'd be like, well, I'm not that's not as cool. So, and at the end of the day, a crime like that, it is violating, but it's trivial. You're like, oh, money can be replaced.
Yeah,
I'm okay, sure. And hopefully he just finds other ways to make money.
Yeah, I mean, painting and decorating as well. It's relatively well paid if it's if it's a good person. But
there's a lot of houses that need painting.
And also maybe asking him to teach you some handwriting skills as well would be good.
He had beautiful handwriting. I would like to know how to do that. It was always something I struggled with when I was 10. I had to stay after school all the time because I had a very old an old school teacher in the South, and she cursive was very important for her to teach. And I had to stay after school all the time because she's like, your handwriting's atrocious. And couldn't get it. But I've been told that you're a genius if you have bad handwriting. So
there's
that. There's that.
There we go. You win.
Do they say that to every child who has something I think you're a genius. If you wet the bed, it means you're a genius.
No, that checks out. I mean, I might have been trying to find an article that verified that for my kid whose handwriting is terrible. And I don't have the energy that Southern teacher had. Because I'm like, when is she going to have to write anything? She's not going to have to write anything. Why are we laboring over this? So
right.
It's just she's just too smart to write.
I think nowadays the best thing a kid can take is a typewriting, a keyboard, the keyboard class.
Totally.
I had to take a typewriting class in high school, and so people to this day are like, I've never seen someone type as fast as you, and I'm like, it's a weird class that my mom made me take.
Where you memorize the keyboard. Does she work for Google now? Is she the head?
Now it's time for drunk women solving crime.
Now, move on to the true crime part of the podcast. And today concerns the mysterious death of the flying millionaire.
Ooh.
The millionaire in question was Alfred Lowenstein, who was born in Belgium in 1877 and by the 1920s was the third richest person in the world. He was a bit of a Great Gatsby type character and he made headlines wherever he went. First question, what do you think he did for work that made him the third richest person in the world in the
1920s?
Oil.
Oil, that's a good one.
Railroads. No, they were earlier.
Alcohol. Oh. Wait, that would make him poor.
Not for those bootleggers.
Belgium. Diamonds.
Is there diamonds in Belgium?
Can you get rich off chocolate?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I hope it's chocolate. Oh, I hope it's chocolate.
And like Leffy beer.
I've never eaten Lowenstein's chocolate, though, so I'm not sure.
Palm frites with mayonnaise.
Yeah, yeah, with waffles.
Have we gotten all the stereotypes out? Because that's yes, what matters.
That's what it was. He was a stereotype. No, he was a financier who invested in electric power and artificial silk.
Oh, okay. I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, that's quite
sad. Yeah, he's a very boring man. It was when these industries were just starting out, very much the Bitcoin of their day. Mm. And as an aside, who do you think was the actual richest person in the world in the 1920s? You will recognise the name.
Oh, Rockefeller.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Am I right? Oh, my God. Is that what you said, too, Fortune?
Yeah, I was going to say that.
I nodded, so...
We're all geniuses.
Yes.
So Alfred was married to Madeline and apparently had high blood pressure and a bit of a temper. The relationship was not great. After the First World War, they moved to England and he started another investment business, which was very successful. He owned many thoroughbred horses and even a castle in Belgium. But this wasn't enough for old Alfred. And shortly before his death, he allegedly got involved in another type of business. What kind of business do you think 1920s?
In England this time.
England and the USA.
Oh, well, what do we love? What do we both love? Cheese, fascism.
Does it have something to do with flying?
Is that no, it hasn't actually. But good instincts. Although maybe it can. It has a link to being high.
Oh, marijuana.
Yeah, essentially drugs. Heroin, to be more specific.
Really?
For real?
Yeah.
Whoa.
What is this? So it's not illegal, is it? Heroin.
Oh, no, it's illegal, Katie. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it is. Yeah.
Every case we do, Katie's like, the drugs were still legal. It was 1975.
Laws hadn't been invented yet, right?
Yeah, but those railroads. Okay, so this is much sexier than fake silk. I'm just pointing that out. He's upgraded.
Yeah, that's quite a diversification.
And I mean, this is the thing. It says this is all apparently. It hasn't been proven, but apparently he made a deal with the gangster Alfred Rothstein to increase the supply of heroin to the United States and create an international drug ring in Europe.
Dang.
So, yeah, quite the businessman. This is all just a little bit of background before we get to what happened to him.
This is all because he was bored with his wife?
I mean, it could be... The high blood pressure could be all the heroin, I'm not sure. So one night, Alfred is flying from Croydon in the UK to Brussels on his private aircraft, the make of which, it was called a fucker. It was, that was the make. It was F-O-O-K-E-R. Okay. So it just made me laugh. There are six people on board, two pilots, his secretary, a valet and two typists. While the aircraft was crossing the English Channel, Alfred went to the rear of the plane to use the toilet. He never came back.
What?
Okay.
When his secretary...
Did you say two typists?
Typists, yeah.
That just seems like too many typists. Why do you need two typists? I know we're coming full circle to typing, and it's important, but what's he typing up on the plane?
It does feel like one too many typists.
Sorry. I'm sorry to interject there, Hannah George.
He just disappeared from inside of the plane?
Yeah, well, what do you think? What's your, like, immediately? He was never, ever seen. Like, well, he was never seen again. What do you think happened? If someone's disappeared from the back of a plane, what do you think he could have got up to?
Well, that film and the guy escaped police in a plane and he climbed kind of into
this. This is like talking to my mum now, Katie. Like the film and the actor.
he climbed behind the panel in the bathroom, you know. He like got into the engineering duct.
Oh, there's
something.
Not been a film about this, but I can give you a little bit more information, which was when his secretary, Arthur Hodgson, we're part of the problem because the secretary I always assumed was a woman. And throughout the whole, everything that I researched on this case, they always referred to him as his male secretary, like a female doctor. Or
the way we say, female scientist. Yeah.
So basically, he hadn't come back for sort of like 15 or 20 minutes. So Arthur goes to sort of find out what's happening. And he goes out there and discovers that the entrance door to the plane was wide open and flapping in the wind.
Okay.
I thought you weren't supposed to open anything on a plane. But maybe that's a certain height, feet up in the air.
Yeah, there's way less planes in the 1920s. They probably don't have to go.
I think it was all willy-nilly. It's the 1920s. You could hang out the window. You could
open
smoke,
the door.
Do some
Let's
heroin.
See what happens.
Yeah.
Just that kind of guy.
But did anyone else immediately... Because this happened to me. I was on a long-haul flight with my husband and my daughter, and I had been in the bathroom for probably 15 minutes, and my husband also came to check on me, thinking something was wrong. But I was just having trouble getting the job done, and I was really embarrassed, because he was, like, pounding on the outside of the door, and I thought it was a stranger. Yeah, we fought for the rest of... the plate. So I feel like Arthur could have given him a little bit more time. That's all I'm saying.
And also, you were probably just trying to get away from your kid on a plane. Like,
this is also true.
Yeah, you were doing that old parenting trick. Oh, I'm just popping to the loo. See you in 2 hours.
I ask for a lot of water. I like to go talk to the attendants. I'm like, how's your job? Do you have job security? Do you feel happy with what you do? Can I get an extra Coke?
So, like, ma'am, you need to go back to your children.
Taylor gets told that, like, all the time. Restaurants, parks, like,
you're like, I just want to talk to someone that's above the age of 5.
I love the idea that a 6-year-old has great chat.
Great chat.
6 upwards, absolutely fine. So there are lots of theories as to what happened to him on this plane. So the first theory is that it was an accident. It was a complete accident. And so on the plane, the door at the rear of the passenger cabin opened to a short passageway, and there were 2 doors. So on the right, there was the door to the lavatory, to the toilet. And on the left, it was the door to leave the aircraft.
That is a terrible mistake.
Yeah.
And those doors should not be so close to each other. And there should be a sign.
Yeah.
Even in the 1920s.
Yeah.
Exactly. But the thing about this is that, do you think that a man could open the wrong door in the way that, you know, these days you have to really properly open a kind of... Do you think he could actually have physically opened a door up there?
Well, again, my husband almost did, and I had the latch done. So, like, you can power through.
No, not to the toilet.
I know.
I can't
imagine. No, because planes were not that different. Like, they were still really heavy doors. He totally didn't just go through the wrong door, did he?
There might, you know, would you have needed a security key or something? Was there security in place where only certain people could open it for that reason?
Right. Fortune, any aviation-based knowledge to add?
Well, in my expertise with 1920 planes, I mean, it depends on, you know, I think of rich people. They don't like to be told no, even by a door. And if that door wasn't opening, I can see someone like him being like, you know who I am, and really, you know, get it open.
Yeah, with his short
well,
temper.
He did, yeah, his temper, oh yes. I'll show you who's number 3 in the rich list, bitch. Yes.
But this is also like the thing about the high blood pressure and why they thought it could have been an accident is because apparently with high blood pressure, you can start to get a little bit forgetful, and that is a side effect. And apparently at one point he almost walked into the propellers of the plane, which...
Oh. 100%
but I mean,
I also know that in the history of heroin, it doesn't usually end well for a lot of people in the heroin business.
Well,
so, yeah. That's true.
There's 2 roads that we could go down right now.
Drunk women solving crime.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Exactly. So in terms of the murder road, what would have to happen there is everybody on board would have had to conspire together to kill him. Why do you think everyone would have to be involved?
Heroin. Usually money involved.
It's more sort of like about just the physicality of the fact that this is a really small plane. And if the door had opened, like, because you're thinking if it was an accident, he'd have to have gone out sort of like at the beginning of the 15 minutes. And if that door is open, it's going to make a huge difference. But everybody on board claimed not to have heard anything.
Yeah, that is weird, because that would be a significantly louder situation.
Yeah, and they all claimed that they didn't hear anything. And in terms of the accident as well, apparently the accidents branch of the British Air Ministry took the plane back up in the air after it landed to test the theory of whether or not you can go out of this door.
Oh.
Because obviously, if you can, then it's an accident. And apparently the way they tested it is a man from the ministry just threw himself against the door and he could only get it open 6 inches, apparently.
Oh,
like in the air?
In the air.
Like, did he fall out?
Who wants to be the one that tests that theory? You're like,
yeah, that's God. A short
Paul
straw.
This is your moment to shine. Give it the shoulder,
because I feel like maybe he didn't put all his might into that. Because the result is
yeah.
Immediate death.
Bye-bye.
Exactly. And they said that it would take two men to fully open that door in flight.
Right. Hence, so it's a murder.
Okay. Murder. Yes, exactly.
Or it could have had somebody hidden on the plane that no one else knew about. They could have been hiding in the bathroom. As soon as he goes to the bathroom and opens the bathroom door, they jump out, and then that person chucks him off the plane.
Well, actually, this case has never been solved, so I think Katie might have solved it there, which is quite good.
My other theory is that he was hiding in the panels, like I said, and then when the plane landed, he snuck out, because maybe he knew somebody wanted to kill him.
Well, you see, that's good instincts.
Basically, you're saying that it would take two people to open that door, based on that guy trying.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, which feels fishy. But then, and also, Katie, like, the thing with hiding in the panels is that before they actually landed as soon as they noticed this had happened, they then landed on a beach in France, and then they took off again and went to the airfield. And if he was faking it, or he'd faked his own death, which is another big theory of this.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Okay.
That he's, like, chilling in Nice right now or something.
exactly that he just got off the plane on the beach and everyone agreed, like, oh, we'll say that. But what a weird story to make up. That's the thing, though, if he did fake his own death.
Well, he wanted to get away from his wife, we know that.
Yeah
And that high blood pressure, you know, if he's wanting to just chill on the beach in France for the rest of his life. I acted like he's still alive. Yeah. He was like 70 then.
Rich people, though, they last a long time. Like, thingy Rockefeller, like, lived until he was 97 or 90-something. So,
I mean, it is hard to, once you're in the heroin business, to get out of it.
This is the thing. I think, like, when you're that rich as well, I think there's got to be lots of people who would probably be happy to sort of murder you, including he had another business called International Holdings, which he opened with two men. And there was a clause in the contract that said if one of them died, total control would immediately go to the other two.
There we go.
Okay.
Interesting.
Okay, that's a
motive. Don't have that in your contracts, that's what I'm saying.
This is a really tough way to kill somebody. That's my problem with it.
Unless they didn't throw him out, they basically landed on that beach, killed him there, then took off again. The couple of men opened the door and just made up that, like, he never was thrown out of the plane.
Oh. Because they could have left the door open as they took off, because... I imagine you can't close it once it's open. So if they landed with the door open.
Oh, yeah. Because this is all just testimony from a bunch of people who have colluded. Like, everyone is guilty. So this is just the made-up part. Like, they have no proof that the door was actually ever open. So, yes, it feels like he was murdered on the beach.
Because I imagine
which is my favorite drink.
I imagine you just murdered on the beach. A lot of grenadine. Yeah, because you would land on a... You wouldn't be landing on a very crowded beach. You would land on like a secluded, no one's there beach.
Yeah.
So that could also be part of the conspiracy theories that...
Absolutely, absolutely. Everything about it is fishy. Like, also, like with the accident thing, is... okay, so there was something on the door that makes you think this can't have been an accident, and it wasn't sort of like don't open it or whatever. It was something else. Can you think what that might be?
It's not a big red thing saying do not open, but it's something that would make you think it's not an accident.
Well, I'll just do it.
Did it have a bathroom? Yeah. This is the bathroom sign on it.
Yeah, that is terrible design. Terrible.
Or one of those whatever gender you're free to use this bathroom. They were very progressive.
It's a window. There's a fucking window
in the door,
so he can see that if it's going to be an accident.
That's the sky.
Doesn't think like it's so stupid. So had he faked his own death, you'd need to find a body. Do you think there was a body found in this case?
Mm-mm. Doesn't sound like it.
That company with the clause, if somebody dies, the other one gets it. What happens if there's no body in that clause?
That's a good... I mean, I haven't got it here with me, Katie, but...
You're like, can someone research that? Anyone?
They did. They found the body.
They did?
I'm shocked.
Oh, when you said it was unsolved, I assumed there was no body.
Well, 16 days later, a body was found by fishermen in France. However, Roslin is like, he's identified in such a way that makes me think it might not be him. What do you think they used to identify him?
Dental.
That would make sense. Dental.
Like his watch or something.
Okay, his wristwatch.
Yeah, was it like his shirt? Was it his clothes? And they're like, only a Belgian would wear this ridiculous top.
Do you know what? Katie was spot on. It was his wristwatch.
His watch.
Oh my gosh.
Nice job.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, that is.
They're like,
tenuous.
Only one person can wear this watch.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, it's really stupid. And the fact that he wasn't found like until 16 days later, that's just enough time for him to have kind of...
decomposed.
Yeah, I think that's the word. Yeah, that's the word. So it's kind of... Do you think that would be him if they say, well, it was his watch?
I'm assuming his wife didn't get a second opinion.
Well, it's interesting that you say that about the wife. Guess who didn't turn up at the funeral?
Oh, she was in on it?
The wife?
Maybe. Well, you see, this is the thing. There's so many people that could potentially have murdered this guy.
Enemies.
Yeah.
So he was laid to rest, or if it was him, the body, in a cemetery in Brussels, in a tomb belonging to his wife's family. However, his name was never carved on a gravestone or anything.
That's not nice.
Which, in effect, means he was buried in an unmarked grave. So if anyone ever wanted to check, it was him.
Right. They couldn't find him.
Oh my gosh.
Exactly. If we wanted to start a GoFundMe now to have him exhumed, we couldn't do it.
Get the DNA.
Well, he was definitely murdered, but who knows? Unless he did fake his death and he and his wife made up and they were chilling on a beach together in France. That's why she didn't make it to the funeral.
Yeah,
right.
She was with the real
one. What a nice, that's such a nice ending. And his blood pressure just went way down.
Yeah, all the stress of this company is behind him.
She was like, I remember why I married you now. And,
I just had so much heroin and just felt great. Yeah. Oh, it's nice to have a sort of nice ending to one of these stories.
Well, I'm sure he was murdered. It's just that it's hard to... pinpoint who because clearly the wife was like boo this guy, and then his the people on the contract with him on the other business, then you got the heroin business and there it's not like I don't know a lot of heroin business owners who are above board.
Yeah, so
there's lots of fingers to be pointed.
There's so many suspects.
Exactly.
I don't know. I still think this is more likely to be a fake body with, like, the Stranger Things, like, fake body funeral.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, there is that.
You know, he's either still dead, but somewhere else, or he's escaped and that's a fake.
Right. Right.
Yeah, it depends how deep it goes, because it's not hard to pay a fisherman. Believe me. I said that like I knew, but like you could pay somebody off, you get a body that's from a morgue. I don't know if I were going to do that, yeah, for instance.
And also, like, I think the guy is rich enough that he could, you know, he could literally have thrown a body out of the plane to make it look like it was him, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But what was it, do you think, about this crime? So it was committed in the middle of the English Channel. What is it about that that made it difficult for police to investigate?
Murky water.
The jurisdiction of whose it is.
Fortune?
Well, gosh, all my knowledge of the English Channel. I don't know. I really don't know.
I mean... To be fair, Katie has got it spot on. It was jurisdiction. It's like the bridge. It's like, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's like French police, okay. English police. Yeah, and it, in the end, the French police investigated it. So they went with one of these theories. Which theory do you think they went with?
That he fell out of the plane.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I agree. Yeah.
Of course, because otherwise you have an investigation that's ongoing, right? So that's the easiest thing.
Yes. I was explaining this to my boyfriend earlier.
This is like the bathroom.
Yeah. But I was explaining the case to him, and I was like, what do you think happened? And he was like, well, obviously he's kind of like come out of the toilet and then just thought, oh, I've got to air that out. And that's what he did. Which could be. So, yeah, to this day, it's still a mystery. Here's to the flying millionaire. Cheers.
Wowzers.
I have one more follow-up question.
Please.
Because I'd love to solve this while we're on the podcast. No, did they ever say, like, what happened to his money? Like, did the wife get it, or?
Yes. Who got the money?
Who was the heir?
Yes.
Good question.
Great question.
We don't know.
Well, apparently, as soon as word got out that he died, like, all of the stocks plummeted. So, like, everything that he'd ever invested in kind of just absolutely sort of died a death. I imagine it was the wife that got whatever was left, because I don't think they had children. So she was going to benefit from it, but...
But the heroin stocks, they're very volatile.
Heroin stocks dropped. That means that other company where those guys were in control, that company probably went belly up.
Yeah. Exactly. So it's like...
They didn't think that one through if that was them.
Yeah.
Well, this is close to the crash anyway, right?
That's a good...
Oh, yeah. I think it was. Yeah. When did that happen?
Oh, my God. That could have fed into the crash if he's 29? The third richest
Was it 29?
Person.
I'm looking at you guys. Come on, Brits. You know history. When was my crash?
Did he kill himself because he knew about the crash?
Well, there was theories that everything that he'd invested in was about to sort of implode. So there's... But what a dramatic way to do it.
It's a very Twilight Zone twist if you know, a company rival murdered him, but then the stocks were worth nothing.
Yeah. That is a karma twist right there. Another great drink, karma twist.
With that citrus lift you like on the weekend.
But I think what we should do is we should conclude that they were in a beach in Nice somewhere.
I think he killed himself to avoid the shame of losing everything, because he knew that everything's about to
tank. Katie.
Interesting.
No, I'm
sorry. Sorry, what's our official line?
I mean, Katie, that's the end of Titanic, but I guess it could have happened. I like that. Here's to a happy couple on the beach.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Cheers.
Drunk women solving crime.
A listener has written in, and we're going to try and solve her crime.
We're good at this, so hit us.
Yeah.
It says, "Dear drunk women, nearly 7 years ago, my husband and I celebrated our 10th wedding anniversary by going away for a weekend to a lovely hotel in Ireland. It was a very nice hotel in the middle of nowhere on the shore of a lake and specialises in gourmet food and relaxation."
Mm. Oh, that sounds nice. Is this Lowenstein and his wife?
Yeah,
giving. It's all come around.
His blood pressure was really down. And no, she says, after a lovely weekend, we were checking out of the hotel when the receptionist asked us if our car was the red car with the registration number, blah, blah, blah. It was our car. She spoke in very hushed tones, so we knew something was wrong, especially after she asked us to come to the manager's office. When we sat down in the manager's office, he said, all the wheels on your car have been stolen. just the wheels. So in the middle of the night, in a hotel in the countryside, someone removed four wheels from our car, leaving the car balanced on one block, not like a block underneath every single wheel. It was just a block in the middle. Wow. Yeah. And Aoife is a professor of engineering, and she said that she was actually quite impressed by that. So that's quite, that's nice. But she said that no other cars had been done. Their car isn't a fancy car, and they have no idea what happened.
So it's not like it had nice alloy wheels or anything.
Yeah.
Just had wheels.
Weird.
That's very bizarre.
Well, it must have been an engineer that knew how to do the impressive engineering
block. Yeah, she had an enemy in her field.
Yeah.
A colleague.
She has an engineering rival.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Did you ask her if she was having an affair?
With an engineering mechanic.
And they're pissed. Because she's off on a romantic weekend with her husband.
Yeah.
Not to really take this down a different road for our listener. Sorry about that, girl.
No, but we've got to ask these questions. To be good detectives, we
That's
have to
right.
ask these questions.
Yeah.
That's okay. Sometimes we blame the person that wrote in. It's okay. It was you, wasn't it? Was it the hotel itself? Because they're like, these suckers will spend another night or two here if we take their wheels off. Like, maybe they just do it every few months to make up for, like, their debt or whatever. The wheel plan.
Yeah, maybe these guys were, like, bad
wheels
tippers.
On wheels, but in a different
That is a good idea to get people to stay at your hotel longer. Just take away any means of getting away.
Yeah. It's almost too easy.
And so, did you say what happened from there? Like, they never found
Well, she that. Said that the guard, the Irish police, had a theory that Polish gangs were driving around Ireland stealing nice alloys to export back to Poland for sale. And she said that she didn't think that was true and just thought it was an excuse for not investigating the crime because apparently they didn't investigate the crime. And yet she was saying, like, why would they be driving around the Irish countryside at 1 a.m. on the off chance that there were wheels to steal?
Wheels to steal.
Yeah.
It is pretty easy to be like... Well, clearly the Polish did this. What are we going to do?
That's their boogeyman.
Yeah. These feel like pro-Brexit people, these hotel owners.
Exactly. Yeah, so she said there was no CCTV at the hotel, so they couldn't check that.
I thought that y'all had it everywhere. When I watch Broadchurch, there's CCTV.
Nice.
And every corner, even of that town by the sea.
Well, though, this is Ireland.
Oh, Ireland.
Isn't it?
They're not as on top of their CCTV.
They haven't. Yeah.
It feels like something, having grown up in the country, we did ridiculous stuff when we were bored. So I can imagine it being a group of kids, those damn kids doing it, except for balancing it on a block, maybe. But they could have, if there were enough of them and they're bored enough.
Yeah.
They just did it for fun and they took a photo and it's like a little. I don't know. People swallow Tide Pods. Like, this is less insane than most YouTube challenges. It feels like it could have just been a prank.
Yeah, how do people, like, how hard is it to get a car, like, a wheel off a car? Because I know if I've ever had a flat tire, I've always just waited for someone else to do it. So I don't know how difficult that is. I think you might just need a wrench, maybe.
I have also waited
for
help.
Yeah, you can get
the crank.
Jack it up.
Yeah, the jack.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was just thinking they must have been very strong teenagers to lift
you're
the
like,
car.
There was at least 10 teenagers. They all picked up the car.
They worked
were like,
together.
Or a carjack?
Light as a feather, stiff as a board. Light as a feather, stiff as a board.
It is weird that was the only car that happened to.
Yeah.
Because you figure, like, oh, we got four and nobody came out here and stopped us. We might as well.
Yeah,
you know, four more,
yeah,
baby.
And also, like, doing like the shittest car in the car park.
Yeah,
like, why would you do
That's
that?
Why I go back to my theory that they were targeted.
Okay,
yes,
we need to
vendetta. Okay. So I think you're onto something. I think it's a jealous. I think she's having an affair. She's deciding which one to choose. And she's decided she's going to dump the affair guy. She's going to finally try and make it work with her husband. Yeah. And then the affair guy is like, I can't believe you're not picking me. Follows him to Ireland. Takes the wheels.
Wow. Hope that helps.
Thanks for listening, Aoife.
And hope we solved your crime.
You chose the right one. You don't want to be with the guy that steals
you. Yeah, be with the guy that's buying you gourmet food.
Yeah, right. Absolutely no question.
I used to go out with wheel stealers. They're the worst.
Oh my God.
Steals the wheels.
Now we've firmly solved that. All that's left to do is just, Fortune, what are you up to? Tell us what you're up to. Tell our listeners where we can watch you. And
oh man, I used to. My schedule used to be so full. I guess, well, internationally, they would be able to watch my Netflix special, Sweet and Salty,
which is awesome.
Thank you. It came out in January. It's my first hour special, and it's out there until a lot of fun stories about growing up and trying to find myself and how I got it wrong a lot. Cool. And then I have a half hour special on Netflix as well as part of the stand-up season one, so check those out. Yeah, hopefully when travel is allowed again, I will get to go to England. I did shows in London last year for a week at the Soho Theater. That was so cool.
Oh nice.
Yes. Awesome. But for now, stand-up is on hold, so that's pretty much the only thing. Because I was supposed to go on, I had 6 months of shows already sold out that were to start March 14th.
Shit, man. That's
the night before I was supposed to leave for the first show, they were like, everything's done. You know, we're at home and we're healthy, so we can't really complain at the end of the day. So I'm just writing now and, you know, just trying to be creative.
What's your podcast called?
My podcast, yes, I do have a podcast. It's called Sincerely Fortune, and it's wherever you listen to podcasts like this lovely one. And I'm known, like, on Instagram, I'm very silly. I dance with ice cream. I do silly characters. And so people know that side of me very well. So I'm doing this podcast where I'm showing a more sincere part of me, where I talk about, we talk about, like, you know, some are very silly, but others are like very real, deep topics. Okay. And my mom comes on a lot, which people really enjoy. And my partner Jax does it with me a lot. So people find out a lot about our relationship, and it's fun. Cool.
I love that she did the intro right on your Netflix special. She was like, I love that. I was like, why did you choose to do that? I just thought it was like a masterstroke of, like, is it because you talked about her and it was like,
because I filmed my special in Charlotte, North Carolina, and I grew up in a tiny town right outside of it, so it was a very personal set because it basically went from birth to now, and it followed this timeline of my life. And so it just seemed like it made sense to do it at home in front of these people who've known me my whole life. And my mom is a big part of my stand-up, and I tell a story about her, about me coming out and what her reaction was to it. And so it just felt very full circle to be like, here was her journey with that, and here's where we're at now.
Nice.
So the special, like, you, there's some things in the beginning that you might not think about in the beginning, and if you, once you watch it, you think back, because like I have a bunch of pictures in the intro, and you're just like, oh, these are cute pictures, but then when you watch, you go, oh wait, that was a picture of her swimming. Oh wait, that was a picture of her as a debutante. That was a picture of her on a horse. But you have to, like, kind of go back around.
I love that. That's a great hustle to like, you got to watch it twice to really get it.
Yeah, what else are you going to do? Watch it. You're at home.
Well, on that note, I guess I will just say thank you for joining us.
It's been so fun. So much.
Yeah, this thank was, you so much. That was so much
so
fun.
Great talking with you guys. I appreciate it. I'm so glad we solved everyone's crime.
Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman with music by The Lion and the Wolf. You can follow us on Twitter at Drunk Women Pod and Facebook and Instagram at Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. And if you've got a petty crime you want us to solve, then write it in a review and we'll solve it. Thank you to Acast and thank you for listening.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.